You are listening to Benefit from the Bible. The Bible is God's word of truth to show us our need for Jesus, to save us through Jesus, and to show us how to live for Jesus. If you have questions or needs, please let us know. Dear friends in Jesus Christ, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Today is the resurrection of our Lord. He is risen. But it is also April Fool's Day. Very unusual that these 2 days converge together. I looked it up, and since 1900, Easter has fallen on April Fool's Day only 4 times. 1923, 1934, 1945, and 1956. So the last time was 61 years ago, before I was even born. It won't happen again until 2029, so this is my one opportunity as a pastor to be able to talk about the 2 things on the same day. So I'm going to take advantage of that opportunity. Thinking about April Fool's Day, it was simply intended for practical jokes, so those who would usually fall for a joke would hear at the end, "April Fools." When we think about the jokes, normally they are harmless, no big deal. However, though, being an actual fool is a most serious matter according to God's holy word. Therefore, this sermon is going to include the truth and the joy about the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, but it's also going to include some sad realities about being a fool. All of us can be foolish in certain ways, not good things, but may we hear what the Bible says today, may we understand what it means, and may God keep us from foolishness and from being fools in our own lives. First of all, going to the gospel, we go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. So regarding the gospel, what it is, we could state it this way. It is the good news that Jesus is the very Son of God in human flesh, that he lived a sinless life as our perfect substitute, that he suffered our punishment. So our sins were put upon him, and then God punished him with the eternal punishment that we deserve. When that was all done, he laid down his life. On the 3rd day, God raised him to life again, and now he is alive forevermore. That is the gospel. That is the good news. Thinking about the Corinthians, Paul preached the gospel to them, and by God's grace, they received it, and they stood upon it as their confidence for heaven. That's what it means. It doesn't mean to believe in some facts and figures to be true, but it means to take your stand on it, to put your confidence in it, to say, when the opportunity comes to step into heaven, I can only do it because I have a relationship with Jesus Christ. That's what was true for the Corinthians. But then Paul gave them this warning, though. He said to them, "By this gospel, you are saved if you hold fast to the word I preached to you, unless you believed in vain." What does he mean by that? Jesus and his finished work are the good news. And anyone who believes in Jesus and his finished work, they are saved. They have the gift of eternal life. They are blessed forever and ever. But think about relationships, so relationships don't automatically continue. There are many people I've known in my life that I had a relationship with that I no longer have a relationship with. I imagine you could say the same thing. If you think way back in your life, maybe people you went to school with, people you grew up with, you haven't seen them for a long time, you don't know how they're doing, you don't have a relationship with them any longer. That happens a lot of times. Therefore, let's make this kind of a comparison. If we had a bag of money, because money is important and valuable in this life, if we had a bag of money, we would probably hold on to it fairly tightly. In other words, we would hold fast to that bag of money. What about our Lord Jesus Christ? Let's make a comparison. Is the money more important, Or is our Lord Jesus Christ more important? We know the money is important for now. Christ is important for now and forever. So as we would hold tight to a bag of money, how much more tightly should we hold fast to our Lord Jesus Christ? May we never be among those who believed in vain. What does that mean? Talking about someone who did believe, but they did not hold fast to Jesus Christ. In other words, they stopped believing in Jesus Christ. The relationship between them and Jesus came to an end. May that sad reality never be true for any of us. Paul also told about some key factors of the gospel. He told us that Christ died for our sins. What about us? We have sinned, so we have deserved eternal punishment. So what did he do? He obediently took our place, and he took our punishment. What an amazing thing that he did. The Bible says he was buried, so he was truly dead, not just almost dead. He was truly dead. Like I said to the children, they put a spear right through his heart, and blood and water came out, showing that he was already dead even before they put the spear through him. Like Jesus said, no one takes his life from him. He has the authority to lay it down, and he has the authority to take it up again. And once he had finished his saving work, he laid down his life. Truly, he was dead. So what did they do? They took his body off the cross, they wrapped it up, and they put him in a tomb. They put his body in a tomb. And then the Bible tells us that he was raised on the third day. So he was raised on a Sunday. And that Sunday was also the Old Testament festival of first fruits. Since Jesus is the firstborn from the dead, what is that telling us? There will be others who are born from the dead, and that includes all people who know Jesus Christ when they breathe their last. They will also be raised to life and be blessed in God's presence forever and ever. And then after he rose from the dead, the Bible says that he appeared. So he appeared alive to many people, proving, in fact, that he is risen from the dead. Alleluia, Jesus is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. Now we switch gears a little bit and go to the topic of a fool. But fitting, though, on April Fool's Day, isn't it? So what is a fool? A fool is a person who acts unwisely. We're talking here about a person who has good information, but does not put that good information to good use. That is a fool. We're not talking about someone who is ignorant. Someone who is ignorant is lacking good information. We're talking about someone who, again, has good information, but does not put that information to good use. Who would be a good example of that? One example would be Stephen Hawking, who recently passed away. Some people considered him to be one of the smartest people on earth. He was brilliant in so many ways, and with his brilliance, what did he do? He gained the very best information. However, though, he did not make good use of it, because in the end he concluded that there is no God. How do we know he's a fool? The Bible tells us. The Bible says, the fool says in his heart, there is no God. Should we be surprised at his conclusion? We shouldn't be, because studies show that as many as 93% of top-tier scientists do not believe in God. Sadly for many, claiming to be wise, they became fools. May God help us by his grace to humbly trust in him, to humbly trust in his word. If we ever become so intelligent that we no longer think this book is true or that Jesus is the Son of God, that's a really bad situation. But it doesn't mean, though, that all brilliant people are saying no to Jesus Christ. There have been many very brilliant people throughout time that God blessed with a relationship with Jesus. So God wants us to be intelligent. He wants us to grow in our knowledge. But we should always know, though, that this book is true, and everything then must conform to his holy word. I want to go on from here and talk about some people in general, or some general tendencies in regard to foolishness. So I want to talk about five things here about misplaced trust, poor planning, being slow to believe the word of God, taking no action, and being unwilling to embrace the cross. First of all, with misplaced trust, let's understand, let's be honest and agree that we all trust in something or someone. The Bible says, whoever trusts in his own mind is a fool. So we have been blessed with God's word, and we have been blessed with our own minds. We are all tempted over and over again to trust in what we think. All of us have that temptation, but God is saying, don't go in that direction. Rather, trust in me, trust in my word. Don't be a fool. On the topic of poor planning, for the man in Luke chapter 12, he planned out his earthly life very carefully. God blessed him with an abundance of harvest, so he decided, I'm going to tear down my smaller barn, I'm going to build bigger barns, I'm going to stock them all up, and I'm set for years to come here on planet Earth. The problem with that man is he had no plans for eternity. He just kind of thought life would go on and on and on, so he never thought about the day he would die. He never thought about the day he would face the Almighty God. So God said to this man, fool, this night your soul is required of you, and the things you have prepared, whose will they be? Since our days will eventually come to an end, and we don't know when, it could be even today, because such things are true, may God help us to be ready and remain ready for that day. And how does that happen? That happens by the grace of God, enabling us to hold fast to our Lord Jesus Christ, knowing him, in relationship with him, then we are ready. Coming to the topic of being slow to believe God's word, in the Old Testament, it does talk about the resurrection. It does talk about how the Messiah would die and he would be raised. Jesus himself also spoke of it multiple times before he died, so people should have known about it. But on that first Easter Sunday, though, some of Jesus' followers were struggling to believe, so Jesus said to them, O foolish ones, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Why were they foolish? Why did Jesus call them foolish? Think about it like this. God is holy. That means he cannot lie. God is almighty, so he can do whatever he says. So when we put those two things together, God's holiness and God's almighty power, we should readily know that whatever he says, it will come to pass. It has to. If he said it, it has to be true. No matter how impossible it might seem, he has the power to bring it about, and we know that he will. He has to, because he is a holy God. So may God help us to not be slow to believe. May God help us to get into his word. May God help us to read it thoughtfully and carefully. May God impress upon us the fact that it is true, and may God use his holy word to bless us now and forever. And then coming to the topic of no action. Thinking about the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapters 5, 6, and 7, Jesus gave wonderful instructions to his disciples. In other words, those were instructions to people who already knew Jesus, who already had the forgiveness of their sins, who already had the gift of eternal life. And he was simply saying to them, disciples, these are ways to go forward in your lives. So he taught them what to put into practice. For those people who did so, Jesus called them wise. But for those who did not do so, Jesus said, everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. So God wants us to not be foolish. He wants us to be wise. So what does that mean? That means to, first of all, know that we are poor, miserable sinners. Know who Jesus is, the Son of God in human flesh, the one who won the victory over sin, death, and the devil. And then by God's grace, to be in relationship with him. And then rejoicing that we are forgiven. Rejoicing that heaven is open to us. He wants us to look at what he says and take action on it. Put it into practice, not for our salvation, but simply because it is a wise way to proceed. Coming to the last section here, we come to this unwillingness to embrace the cross. The Bible teaches that God became a man in order to die on a cross to save people who despise him. Let me repeat that again. Think about it. The Bible teaches that God became a man in order to die on a cross to save people who despise him. That is a message of Holy Scripture. What do you think? Is that incomprehensible love on the part of God, or is that unbelievable foolishness on the part of God? It all depends on whether or not you know Jesus Christ. If you know him, then you know that you desperately needed him and what he has done, and it is incomprehensible love that he would go that far, coming down from heaven, putting on human flesh, living for us, taking our punishment, laying down his life. It's overwhelming that the Almighty God would do that for us. And if you see it that way, that means that God has opened your eyes to his truth. That means that you have a relationship with Jesus Christ. That means that you are blessed now and forever. But think about it, though, in a practical way. How many people are saying, what's this about Jesus? He is God? So you're telling me that God came down and he's a man? And then he would be nailed to a cross and die on a cross? How's that going to help me? He did that almost 2,000 years ago. How could that ever help me? And how could he even be God? God wouldn't do that. God would never come down here and put on flesh. If you think about it in a logical way, it makes no sense. It's utter foolishness. But what does the Bible say, though? It says, the word of the cross is to those who are perishing foolishness, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. So how we look at the cross is going to tell us whether we are in relationship with him or not. When I think back to this particular verse here in 1 Corinthians, I memorized that back about 30 years ago or so. And I remember that at the time I was driving this particular truck, and I took that verse and I wrote it out on a little 3x5 sheet of paper. Then I had a clip up on the dash of the truck, and I clipped the verse on the dash, and I would glance at it from time to time as I was driving. That's how I memorized it. So normally I drove that truck, but there was one occasion where this other man had to use my truck. So he used it, he got back, and the next time I got into the truck, he had taken the piece of paper, and he took the bottom of it, and he hooked it up like this and clipped it like that. He did not want to look at that verse. He was telling me, by doing that he thought this is foolishness. Where are you at with that? It's easy, it's logical to think it is foolish, but yet God wants us to know it truly is incomprehensible love. May God open our eyes to see that. May he impress that upon us. May we rejoice that he has shown us such things. But do we have to understand all that God has said to go to heaven? No, we don't need to understand. We are simply called by God to repent and believe. And God even enables us to repent and believe. We can't do it on our own. He loves us so much. He has done that for us. Let us pray. Dear Father in heaven, you love us and you have bought us back. We pray that you would keep us from being fools, and we pray that you would keep us ever holding fast to your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. In his name we pray. Amen. Questions, needs, contact us through our website, BethlehemLutheranChurchParma.com. This is our regular schedule: Sundays, service at 8, classes at 9:30, service at 10:45, Mondays, service at 7 p.m. Now, may the Lord of peace continually grant you peace in every circumstance. The Lord be with you all.